Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. What are you enjoying?
Everything.
That's very broad.
Do you know what I love? I was recently on a Zoom meeting with you, and you had to introduce yourself, and you said your job was everything good stuff.
Yep, I did.
I kind of like that.
Kept it short.
And I think other people were a little envious that that was what you get to do, is the good stuff.
It made
it sound like it was only good stuff, which I really appreciate. So, I mean, I thought that was
kind of
cool.
Try to focus on the positive. It's that was coming off of some very late night deadlines and other things that were good, but not as good.
Not
maybe
fully
not
good
as
stuff.
Good. Yes.
Okay stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Just okay. Just okay stuff.
Deadline stuff. Yes.
Yeah. No, but I like that. It kind of made me smile in such a, I don't know, a nod towards how nice it is to get to do this program together.
It really is. And we even in studio today have Swedish Fish and Friends.
I love that. I'm glad you brought their friends too.
I know. And we should be a little more specific. Their friends are dolphin and turtle.
Nice. Nice.
Never seen that before, but.
And we should give a shout out to our producer who's so patient with us, Jeff.
The friends are really for him.
That's what I think.
The friends are for him.
Yeah, the fish are for us.
It's a subtle thank you.
Jeff, you get an octopus. We appreciate you. a gummy version.
I don't
octopus.
Even think I could eat a gummy version of an octopus.
I know. It's
I love them so much.
I know. I
just
it's a little weird.
Plus, it would probably escape.
It could.
They're very good at that.
Yeah, but I do feel, again, I was just lamenting about how you introduced yourself, and it's really fun to do the show and get a chance to bring on guests every week and talk about history and legacy and just the good stories.
Agree.
In a world where sometimes there's not as many good stories.
I know. So, we need good stories.
I mean, we're now in the middle of July. Who would have believed that? July 19th.
Yeah.
Summer's like halfway gone.
I know.
We blinked.
June seriously went very quickly, and July does as well. And then it'll be harvest before we know it, and then things get really hectic in your life. And
I know. And I'm just coming off of vacation, and so like I've got to like still shake out the cobwebs.
Yeah.
Here, coming back, but
you seem very relaxed.
I am. So chill.
Okay. What'd you drink? On vacation.
Everything.
I know you're being way too vague. Okay.
I know, no. Lots of good wine, of course. Maybe a couple cocktails.
All right, well, gotta mix it up.
Yeah.
All right, but what, let's just catch up a little bit on what's coming, what people can get involved in.
So it's interesting for us. I feel like the first half of the year was us out on the road meeting our team and working with all our partners, Houston and Aspen, and going to Coachella Valley for the Firebirds, Chicago, New York, you name it, off we went. But really, I think as you look ahead, especially with harvest season kind of upon us, middle of July, it's such a great time to invite folks to Sonoma County to really experience the thing that we love so much, which is, you know, our wine grape harvest, the wine making, the beautiful vineyards, the beautiful time of year. And so this is really, I would say the next 3 months is where we really host folks here. So we have three different, I'll call them SOM experience sommelier camps coming up. Our first one is coming up starting in about a week and a half with SOM Journal and Meredith May. There we're bringing, I think it's 27 sommeliers from around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do all sorts of things around Sonoma County, but then we are going to host them for our very famous truck talks, where we send small groups of them out with our farmers in a truck to go drink wine from the vineyard where those grapes were grown. And such a great time to do it when the vineyards are literally in full.
Moments away.
Yeah, from their perfection. So that's the first one. And then early September, we come back and we do another SOM immersion program with Guild SOM. They actually put on a Sonoma County competition. So they put on SOMs or wine fans that are part of Guild SOM members can sign up, and they do this test on wine knowledge and region knowledge. And the top 15 winners, the prize is coming to Sonoma County.
Hmm.
So they get that travel. We kind of scholarship them. So that's going to be really exciting. And we moved it. We used to do it in sort of May, June, and we moved it to September a year ago specifically so we could start to do a harvest experience. And so that's been really cool. So we're going to do that. And then in the middle of September, we have Ray Isle, executive wine editor for Food & Wine Magazine, is going to come, and we are hosting a Somm camp with him for 3 days. So also, folks out in the vineyard harvesting, go to the crush pad and watch the winemaking process. We're hoping to do like blending seminars, and then obviously some other just master classes in Sonoma County and wine. So lots of folks coming here.
Just hearing about it.
I know, right? I know. We gotta gear up. There's going to be a lot of Swedish fish involved.
And friends.
And a lot of sugar powering us through hosting all these folks. So.
All right. Well, it all sounds pretty amazing and coming up, no doubt, right around the corner. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break and come back, introduce our guest on today's Good Stuff. Studio on the Good Stuff today with our guest, Karen Frances DeGolia, owner of Limerick Lane Cellars. And I should probably just draw this out because Chris is finishing her Swedish fish.
I'm good.
And
I'm good.
You ready?
I still got some stuck in my teeth probably, but we'll figure that out.
Well, welcome, Karen, to the madness that is the Good Stuff.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
So you mentioned quickly that you are from New Jersey. I mean, you've got like a very long and amazing set of background factors that I'd really love to get into. But let's start at the beginning. Born and raised in New Jersey?
In New Jersey?
Exit 2.
Oh, okay.
Exit 2.
Okay, so what's the best Springsteen album?
Oh, that's not fair.
I know
that's not fair.
The answer is all of them.
No, I grew up right outside of Philadelphia, so on the New Jersey side of Philadelphia. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it seems so long ago, but I am going back for a wedding soon. So
okay, so grew up in a food family.
Oh, interesting.
Wine
family. So, I grew up as a product of my Italian side of my family. Mm-hmm. So my mother's maiden name is Di Domenico. So I grew up in a very Italian family with all my, even though I'm an only child, all my cousins were in the same high school. So I was the captain of cheerleading and they were all on the football team.
Oh,
if you get that visual.
There you go.
So I wouldn't say we were a big wine family. We certainly enjoyed wine, but that wasn't the focus of our existence. Probably the food part was more important than the wine part at that point.
Was there a favorite recipe like growing up?
That's so funny. I just thought of that the other day. My mother's and grandmother's brajol.
What is that?
It's sort of a meat dish that's thinly sliced meat wrapped around sort of a stuffing with some tomato marinara sauce on it.
Kind of sounds
really
delicious.
Beautiful.
Mm. I'm in.
Yes.
Are we going to make that in studio next time you're on?
Okay. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it seems, though, that you were very education-focused. I mean, you went, so I'm just looking at your bio, got an economics degree from Dartmouth.
Yes.
Harvard MBA.
Yes.
You know, just whatever.
The usual.
Like everybody else.
Yes.
And then what? Like, so what were you hoping to do with, you know, when you started on that path?
Interesting. So I grew up in a I went to a public high school in southern New Jersey where most people don't go anywhere like Dartmouth or Harvard. Mm-hmm. Let me just say that. So I had a guidance counselor in high school say, well, you know, you won't get in. And I said, okay, let's watch this.
Yeah.
So I sort of have a watch this kind of attitude. I did go to Dartmouth. I did want to be in business. Didn't really know what that meant. Mm-hmm. So that meant economics. And then I got my first job at Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati, marketing Crest toothpaste.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
So I almost went to Wall Street. If I had done that, I could have retired when I was 30, but I didn't do that. I went to market toothpaste, and that ended up being a connection to many, many elements of my career, which is sort of interesting, where an important mentor played a role there. And I loved it. I just loved the whole idea of understanding what consumers wanted and how to create a product and the fun part of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was lucky to be in a place like that and find my happy place in terms of a career.
So I just have to say, so I have a similar path, having started my career at General Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not sure I was going to get to go to an Ivy League school, went to Wharton undergrad and studied business, but it is so fun. I mean, Procter & Gamble and General Mills were like the two companies, at least when I was coming out, that were like, if you can get a marketing job there, like you have arrived.
Yes.
And like people don't leave.
Yeah, I bet.
That this is true. So
when I said I wanted
to go to business school,
yes,
they said, no, you're staying. And I said, no, I'm going. So I did go to Harvard Business School and left. And don't regret it. I had two fabulous years at HBS, and I'm still very good friends with all the people there. I will say it was the two best dating years of my life, since it was 19% women at that point.
I know. Going to those schools is kind of great that way.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It had its advantages. But then I got out of HBS, and I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do, so what do you do when you don't know what to do? You go into consulting. Mm. So I joined Bain & Company.
So fair.
And I was interviewing in Boston in February. And I said, do you have a California office? And they said, San Francisco. I said, that one. I would like to be in that one. So that's how I got to San Francisco.
So had you been to California before, or you just...
Literally to Los Angeles once.
Okay.
Wow.
I had never been to San Francisco until I got the job.
So sight unseen.
Sight unseen. And that's also a theme in my life, that I do things like that. And I got out here and I just thought, oh my goodness, look, this is just, every day was a postcard. I just take the bus to work and feel like I was on vacation. Mm. So I fell in love with San Francisco and I've never lost that love. I have gone away for different times, but San Francisco's been my happy place forever.
I feel the same way. So what sort of consulting were you doing in San Francisco? Did you ever start to dip into the wine industry at that point?
No, I went to do consumer products, but they didn't have any work. So I actually consulted to Fireman's Fund Insurance in Novato.
Really?
In Novato.
And around anymore.
No, it isn't. Yeah. It isn't. So I worked at Embarcadero 1. I was there for the earthquake, 1989. The building does sway, by the way.
Wow. Yeah.
But my client was insurance. And I did that for 3 years and just decided it wasn't what I wanted to do forever. So I then found my way to do something different.
Okay, so these are sort of like early 90s time period.
Yes, all right. Yes.
So you're living in San Francisco. Do you start, do you come up to wine country at all? Like,
Well, this is where my Limerick Lane story starts.
All right.
There
well,
we go. Good that, job,
there we go.
You got us there. You got us there.
Yes, yes. So I lived in Pacific Heights, and I would go run to the Golden Gate Bridge on the weekends, and I would come back, and I'd go to this little cute breakfast place called Bekele's.
Okay.
On Chestnut Street. Today it's called Coswell's. It's a really great restaurant. Mm. And one morning I sat at the counter and this tall, good-looking guy with black hair and blue eyes came in and sat literally right next to me. There was no one else in the whole place.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And so we started talking and he told me he was a San Francisco fireman and that he was also making wine. And I thought, well, okay, this is interesting.
Yes and yes.
Yeah. We walked out, a fire truck rode by, and the fireman on the truck yelled, "Hey, Tom, what are you doing?" I was like, well, at least that part's true.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
That part is true. He is a San Francisco fireman. But he had purchased from his parents a plot of land on Limerick Lane. They had bought it to maybe retire there in the 60s. Mm-hmm. They decided not to do that. And Tom took it over. And so he bought 1023 Limerick Lane. He brought the vineyards back to life. Mm. They were originally planted in 1910 and had been sort of let go. I can still see him on the tractor. He learned how to make wine. He did the sales.
Wow.
I just ran into Andrea Robinson recently, and she reminded me that we were by the glass at Windows on the World.
Oh, wow.
In 1990.
Geez, stop it.
So he was everything. Mm-hmm. And he was also a San Francisco fireman.
And so completely self-taught.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes. Now, he was a voracious learner. And so he, at the time, we were selling fruit to Gary Farrell, mm-hmm. to Tom Eddy, to Bob Bialy, so Cecil DeLoach.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of learning and sharing, I would say, among that group.
So... Okay. And so at that point, was it called Limerick Lane?
Yes.
Okay.
Limerick Lane Cellars.
And the vines that date back that far, was there a winery associated with that back in the early 1900s?
No. The vineyards were planted by a gentleman named Mario Del Fava. And he planted that vineyard. The neighbors next door were the Ritchies, Eugene Ritchie. They planted the R-I-C-C-I. Mm-hmm. You always have to say that quickly.
Yeah.
The vineyard at the same time. And that will come back for a return in my story. But Tom is really the person who started a winery or a wine connected to that property.
Okay.
So 1985, 86 were the first vintages.
So still selling grapes to some of these grape producers and then launched Limerick Lane Cellars.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we started dating. And we.
I didn't get where you actually exchanged phone numbers anywhere in this breakfast. So when did that happen?
We did. All right. I went there after the validation that it was at least half the story was
true. So did you like chase him out and you're like, hey, call me? Like,
I love
the love story. As Virginia knows, I love the story.
It's a great story.
You really get into the details.
I do. Well, how do you go from that to all of a sudden they're dating and she's here in Sonoma County? Like,
well, we missed a step. We went on a date, then we went on another date, and then we kept dating. And then, so for example, I had my 30th birthday in the house at the winery.
Wow.
And so I have a lot of history. I will not say how many years ago that was, but it was several years ago. And Tom was just an unbelievably lovely person. And we would go on dates and we'd stop at some assisted living home before the thing. I'm like, what are we doing here? And he said, this is one of my mom's best friends and her TV's broken and I'm going to fix it. We went in and it turns out the TV wasn't broken at all. She just wanted to visit.
Aww.
And he was that kind of person who would do that.
Awesome.
So just a heart of gold. We got engaged. Mm. We got engaged in Hawaii and I thought my life would pivot from business person living in the city to being up in wine country and living that life. We built the winery itself, the winery building, in 1993. We're known for our wine bottle-shaped pool, which was my idea to put in when we needed a water source to get past code. And I sort of said it as a joke, and then he found somebody to create it. So we have a great wine bottle-shaped pool today.
Burgundy bottle or Bordeaux?
Bordeaux.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, I like that.
Interesting.
Okay.
Bordeaux, you gave me a minute. I had to think there.
Or champagne.
that'll be the hot tub.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. I like it.
And we got in harvest of 1993, and then the only way to say this is that the universe had a different plan, and 2 weeks after harvest, Tom was killed. So I was engaged, and I would say a widow, but not really, because I wasn't married to him. And, in those days, and maybe in some places today, he didn't have a will that had me in it. So everything went to his brother, Michael. And Michael took over the winery, the business. Michael did live up the street. Mm. So it was convenient that way. And let's just say I was devastated.
I bet.
And I said, okay, I got to move. And so I left.
I need
to change it up.
Yeah. No.
And that's what brought me to Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, well, okay.
Naturally. Naturally.
Right?
Yes. So I moved to Nashville. I actually then went to work for someone I'd worked for at Procter & Gamble. And I can honestly say I needed to work for somebody who was going to take care of me.
Who knew you?
You know, take care of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to heal. I needed to heal. Yeah. We distribute in Tennessee now and I do wine dinners there. And when I tell the story, I say I came to Nashville to heal.
Yeah.
And I was there for 4 years. It was a fun time in many ways. It was when country music was just starting to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Garth Brooks and Reba McEntire would be in a restaurant. And I'll never forget, I bought a refrigerator and a guy dressed in white delivered it. And I just called my girlfriends and I said, Elvis Presley just delivered my refrigerator. And it was true. He was an Elvis Presley impersonator.
Oh, my God.
So I had some interesting moments
there. I guess you got to make some money inside.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not a lucrative career, huh?
Very memorable, though. So I had a great time in Nashville, but then let's watch the strings here. The person who was chairman of the board of that company, it was a private equity-owned school and art supply company, also was chairman of the board of General Motors.
Okay.
He had been chairman of the board of Procter & Gamble.
Oh, stop. Okay.
So
there you go.
He knew me from a long time ago, and my career then entered the automotive industry, moving to Detroit and joining General Motors.
No small feat.
Yeah.
I just want to know.
Also, woman in automotive.
Well, yeah.
A non-engineer, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's an interesting time.
Yeah.
Okay. I definitely want to dive deep into that. We do have to take a break in about a minute, though. But I just quickly, like, did you have a relationship with Michael at all? Like,
I did. You know, of course I knew him and we were friends, but Tom was 7 years older than I was, and Michael was 12 years older than Tom.
Oh,
so
okay. Oh,
wow. Our age difference was large enough that I wouldn't say we were, you know, buddies in that way. But, you know, we both shared the tragedy, and but I stayed in touch.
Okay. Because he went on to run the winery
yes.
for many years.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, but you, I mean, I'm sure just wanted to leave it all behind for the most part.
I needed to.
Yeah.
I just needed to reset. I was pretty broken at that point. So.
Absolutely. Okay, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with our guest, Karen Frances DeGolia, owner of Limerick Lane Cellars. Stuff with Karen Frances DeGolia, owner Limerick Lane Cellars. So, last we talked, you were in
headed to Detroit
yes. for this next phase of your career. So, what was that like? What were you doing?
Well, I wasn't going to take the job, but then I went on the interview and they told me my marketing budget would be $1 billion. So I thought I could try that for a while.
Oh, Carissa's going to be sad.
I know.
I had 80 million on Honey Nut Cheerios and I thought I was like the coolest thing
it
ever.
It was automotive. It's a different beast.
Yes.
But it was super fun. My first job was running the Chevrolet Venture minivan business.
Okay.
Then they sent me to Denver. I ran the Rocky Mountain region for Chevrolet. I used to say I sold trucks to cowboys.
Mm.
And then they brought me back and made me the general manager of the Oldsmobile division. So
wow.
For context, I was 34 years old running an $8 billion division
wow.
at GM.
That
so
is crazy.
It was
for
crazy.
You. I'm
it
inspired.
Was. It was. But I love the industry. I love the people. I totally respected the history mm-hmm. of the industry. And I don't know. It just was a great fit for me.
So would it, I mean, I can't even imagine how you market car, you know, these iconic brands mm-hmm. for sure with this sense of history. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it playing into the history? Is that part
in some
of
ways,
what appeals? Or?
I was actually running Oldsmobile when we celebrated our 100th anniversary as a company. And so that certainly did play into that. And Chevrolet has a great history as well. So, mm-hmm. but again, it goes back to the beginning. What does the consumer want? How yeah. do you make sure that you're delivering it and communicating it? And, you know, it's really the basics of marketing,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I would say. So I did that for a while, and then there's a whole little back and forth, but I ended up jumping over to Dearborn, and I went to Ford, and I worked for...
Oh, you went to the enemy.
I went
Detroit,
to the other side.
Yeah.
Were you poached? Were you
That might
lured?
Be a word.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be a word.
Mm-hmm.
And I did work for the CEO at the time. A guy named Jack Nasser was the CEO, and then there was a change-up, and then Bill Ford became the CEO, and I worked
mm-hmm.
for Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, great, so progressive in terms of, you know, climate and doing yeah. good things for the planet, which I still try to do in my own business today, worked for Bill. And then finally decided I needed to get back to California. I had actually moved my mom. I'm an only child. I moved my Italian mother back to San Francisco when I thought Tom and I were going to get married.
Mm.
And so she lived in the North Beach, and I would always visit.
Yeah.
So I've been coming home to San Francisco since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about coming back, and Michael said, "Why don't you come partner with me at Limerick Lane, and this should have been yours anyway."
Mm.
So I came back and I lived in the house and I worked in the tasting room and I worked harvest and I opened distribution in 7 states. So this is
wow.
early 2000s. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I just decided, I think I'm doing this for the wrong reason. So instead, I took a job in San Francisco running an advertising agency. But the vineyard next door had never been sold and came up for sale in 2005, and I bought it. So I bought what was known as the Ricci Vineyard, mm-hmm. R-I-C-C-I,
okay.
From the family and became a grower in 2005.
Okay.
And so in many ways, that's sort of the first real steps back of this journey mm-hmm. back. And it's a beautiful, old, historic vineyard of 10 acres, just lovely, lovely fruit. Mm-hmm. And that kept me in the industry, it kept me connected in the area, and it actually opened up a very crazy twist where I was asked to join the board of Copia. And I got to have dinner with Robert and Margaret Mondavi and got to know all the folks on the Copia board and got a better understanding of what I'll call the wine business through that connection. And that's really where I thought I would stop in terms of I'll just be a grower forever. It'll be fun. And then in 2012, Michael sold Limerick Lane Cellars to Jake Bilbro.
Okay.
And Jake and his family moved into the house and took it over and had great parties. And we were friends next door and, you know, all good. And I honestly never thought about doing that. I was always just a grower. And I thought, you know, Jake did a great job with the brand and great presence in the community and, you know, just was just a super person. Fast forward in 21, I should say I did get married. There you go.
Okay.
2008, I met my husband, Rick. A mutual friend said, you're both into wine. And he had a wine club in the Santa Cruz Mountains and made wine with a partner who was Paul Masson's grandson.
Oh.
And so he made Cab, Chardonnay, Pinot. And so through that, we got connected. And we were up here in 21 and a property up the street at Limerick Lane came up for sale. And I had no plan to buy it. Zero. He had even less plan to buy it. And we got to the top of the hill, and it was stunning, beautiful, 360-degree views with the olive grove.
Right.
And we bought it. And that was now the second property on Limerick Lane. So now I'm up to, 22 acres? Mm-hmm. And then through that, again, the universe does crazy things. I got to be friends with a woman on the street, Angela. And Angela and I were having lunch one day. She said, I hear Limerick Lane Cellars is for sale. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, that can't be. I would know. She said, no, I think it's a good rumor. And so I contacted Jake. And in fact, he was planning to sell the property, which is great. But the problem was he was already in contract with somebody else.
Oh.
So I said, okay, well, if it's not meant to be, let's let the universe decide this one more time. And if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. But if the deal falls through or there's an opening, let me know. And so he called, and 6 weeks later, he said, I haven't slept. I feel like this should be yours. I feel like part of my role has been keeping this for you.
Wow. Just got
and
chills.
And so I can, there's some things that are changing up in the other agreement. But you have to tell me if you're serious.
Mm.
So I had 24 hours.
Wow.
To decide, I'll say, make the least financially based decision, most emotional decision I've made, and I decided that I did want to do this, and I did want to come back.
Oh my God.
So in January of 22, I bought back Limerick Lane Cellars.
I mean, what a story!
What a journey!
Yeah.
Yes.
Holy cow!
And what did Rick think?
You know, that's interesting. He said, well, now Rick is a little older than I am, and he loves the business and everything, but he was like, well, I don't really want to do it. And I said, well, if you don't have to do it, but will you be supportive if I do it?
Yeah.
And he said yes. So
there you go.
He's supportive.
So, I mean, because Limerick Lane was really kind of rolling at that point. Like you said, you know, Jake had been running a good business and getting a lot more attention for the brand and brought on new winemaking and was selling to a lot of great other producers. Did you sort of feel like you could just at least keep that all steady in the short term?
Well, yes. I mean, what you're missing in there is the COVID part, which certainly created a little hiccup for everybody.
Around the world.
Everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jake brought on Chris Pittenger, our fantastic winemaker. Chris started with us in 2018. He continues to make just stellar, spectacular wine.
Yeah.
Chris and I get along so well. We have a lot of fun together, and I really respect everything about him, not only his winemaking, but his understanding of the industry. And so, you know, I came back, and I didn't think I'd be running it, really, but it turns out I was running it. And I also sit on corporate boards, so I have quite a full workload. But we've just had a great partnership doing it together. And I honestly, I didn't really want to make a big splash about it because I didn't want the wrong message to come across. Like, who's this woman who just came in and bought this winery? That was not this story.
Right. You weren't an outsider.
I wasn't an outsider, and I wanted to make sure that I could get in and be part of it and integrate into the community and feel really, really connected before I sort of was more public about it.
Yeah.
And I feel good about where I am with it all right now.
Amazing.
Well, really amazing. And we got to just hang out in Aspen a few weeks ago and have your wine at the top of the mountain party. So
how fun is that?
I feel like that's like an arrival moment of like,
yeah,
okay.
Very much
you're
so.
On top of the mountain, literally and figuratively.
Yes, yes. Super fun in Aspen.
Yes.
All right, we have to take another quick break. We will be right back on The Good Stuff. Good stuff with Karen Francis DeGolia, owner of Limerick Lane Cellars. So tell us a little bit about how people can come experience Limerick Lane. Like, what are the wines that you make, and what are the things that people can come do when they visit?
Well, we today make 16 wines, believe it or not.
Okay.
Five of those are now Rhone wines. So we
yes.
have a beautiful Yay. Rosé, Rhone Rosé, a lovely white blend of Grenache Blanc Viognier. That I named Falcha, which means welcome in Gaelic.
Mm-hmm.
We also make a Syrah, Grenache, and a blend called Rocks and Fog. And then the other 11 are Zinfandel and Zinfandel blends. So we have altogether now 53 acres, predominantly planted to Zin, but also Syrah, Mourvèdre, Grenache, a little bit of Viognier. A visit to Limerick Lane is a must because it's magical.
It is magical.
It's a beautiful, beautiful property. We have tastings 7 days a week. We're still doing
nice.
That.
Nice.
And tastings are between 10 and 4, essentially. We also have two homes on the property now that we rent out. So you can actually come sleep at Limerick Lane.
I love that.
And we have 9 bedrooms between the two homes.
And bring some friends.
Yeah.
Bring
yeah.
friends.
Family.
Great. Families
yeah.
love to rent both. And we also do parties. We have an olive grove, a 30-tree olive grove. We make our own Limerick Lane olive oil. And we do magical dinners in the olive grove. You know, birthday parties, 50, 60, 70 people. So in addition to the wine, which is really just beautiful and, you know, critics love it. We love it. It's Chris's background is from a Pinot background, and I think he brings an elegance to Zinfandel that is just magical and in many ways uncharacteristic of Zin. So we love the wine. We love having people there, and our tasting room team and our team are just super friendly. Like, people always say, are you dog friendly? I'm like, we're dog friendly, we're kid friendly, we're just plain friendly.
I like that. That's the good stuff right there.
It is.
Yes.
It
yes.
is a wonderful place to go and taste. It's so tucked away, and that kind of hillside of those old vines is just very unexpected.
Well, our vineyard was originally planted in 1910, so we are still an historic vineyard.
Wow.
And I pour at the Historic Vineyard Society, and really, we farm organically, sustainably, but I really believe one of the best things we can do is preserve these
yes.
vineyards that are, you know, so storied and over 115 years old.
And so do the grapes from the Ritchie RICCI vineyard and the other vineyard that you bought, do those go into Limerick Lane?
Yes, they
okay.
do. So in 2022, we released our first Ritchie vineyard designate.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yes. So fun. Yes.
And you're not living in one of those houses. Are you living somewhere in Sonoma County?
Well, I do live in those houses when I'm up here.
Okay.
My husband and I live also on the peninsula. He's mayor of our town, so I have to live there, literally. I'll sleep in one of the two houses. And then if those are both booked, I'm also a member of Mayakama Golf Club.
Okay.
And so we are in their casita program, lodging program. Mm-hmm. So I'll be sleeping there tonight, actually.
Does that mean you're a really good golfer?
It means I do play golf. And I am on the board of the PGA, but that's for another day.
Wow.
Oh,
there we go.
Just a little like side note.
Yes.
All right. Well, the address is 1023 Limerick Lane. That is in Healdsburg. Tastings, are they by appointment only or people can just stop by?
Definitely make an appointment if you'd like. But if you walk in, we will welcome you.
Okay. Open 10 to 4. As you said, 7 days a week. Magical. Just go visit.
Yeah. LimerickLaneWines.com.
Oh, yes. Right. Any events coming up that you want to highlight? Are there special things that you do? You mentioned the Historic Vineyard Society. Mm-hmm. That's a great organization. They have an annual tasting, but are there other things like that that you participate in?
Well, we participate in anything local. We mm-hmm. really want to support the community. I love this community. We're doing pig roasts now. We've had a couple of pig roasts, which are super fun. And, just opening the property as much as possible to let people come enjoy it.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us today, telling the story.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That makes my heart happy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Another great, good stuff. We're going to have to start calling it the great stuff.
The great stuff. We've graduated.
Yeah.
The great stuff.
It's the magical story stuff.
I know.
That is quite remarkable.
I love her path. I mean, and that's life, ups and downs, and come full circle.
Yeah. Amazing. And she mentioned, I think, when in passing that you can still see in some of the cement at Limerick Lane, Tom and Karen, like written into the cement from 1993.
So she did. She finally got her home.
Yeah.
And so excited to have her rooted now in the Sonoma County community.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What an incredible story.
Incredible story. Incredible winery with a lot of history. And yeah, those vines.
I know.
1910. Pretty stunning.
I feel like I kind of just want to follow her around and learn.
Well.
And soak up all of her knowledge. Pepper her with questions.
Stalk her or
I don't want to be creepy. I don't want to be creepy. But I do. I just feel like there's just so much opportunity to learn from all of her experiences. And that makes me really excited.
Yeah, so. Tremendous background in consumer packaged goods to cars to golf to wine to.
I feel like I've kind of was like in her shadow, following behind, being like, okay, I'll do consumer goods. Oh, interviewed with Ford. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right, and now you're gonna drink some wine.
And now I'm gonna drink her wine. So, yeah, Tuesday night wine. What are you doing?
Well, look, I came in knowing exactly what I wanted, and it was rosé.
Yeah.
2023 Limerick Lane Rosé. I mean, it's always been one of my favorites. I love their Syrahs and their Zins as well. But rosé out of Magnum from Limerick Lane, special memory. Memories.
Well, that's good. And you manifested it because she actually brought some rosé. So you're going to be able to take that home and enjoy it on Tuesday night. So.
I know. It's got Grenache, it's got Mourvèdre, it's got Syrah, and it's got Grenache Blanc.
So all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, all the great stuff. Well, I'm going to, in honor of her going full circle, I am going to have the Limerick Lane Estate Cuvée, which is a blend of the Zin, Syrah, Mourvèdre, and Petite Syrah. So I'm really kind of excited about that.
Okay. Well,
so there you go.
We're double excited. We'll start with the rosé, go with the cuvée, or vice versa. Doesn't matter. And people should really take the time to visit Limerick Lane, 1023 Limerick Lane in Healdsburg, open 10 to 4 most days. I think it was limericklane.com.
Limericklanewines.com.
And there you have it. Another great good stuff.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.